Welcome to the Second Nature Show. My name is Dom Campbell, and I'm happy to be here with my fellow show co-host, Alex Coble Frakes, and my other show co-host, Donna Masterson, is on a disco cruise.
Without us? Without us. She didn't invite us. I know.
Yeah, dancing with the village people on stage. I mean, come on. Donna. In all seriousness, pardon my voice because I'm getting over a cold, but in all seriousness, if you love Donna, give us hearts, comment that you love Donna, let her know that she's being missed. Donna, we miss you. But I am happy to be here today to share with you, invite you guys to meet Brian Leggett. He is joining us today on the Second Nature Show. He is the co-owner of Life Fit Love with his wife, Monica, and he is a certified coach. Now, he has a super inspiring story. I had the privilege of hearing he shared a number of months ago with me, and I'm really looking forward to him sharing his story here with us today. And so, Brian, it's really great to have you on the call with us. Thank you.
It's great being here. I appreciate you guys for having me. Super exciting. This is awesome. So I'm excited about sharing this story.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So I'm kind of curious. I'd like to start off with asking you, how did you find yourself getting into this kind of work? What inspired you? What led you into health coaching and what you're doing today?
Man. So it's a long story. Looking back, it's a lot of up and downs, but I'm totally proud of all of the ups and downs that I had. It made me who I am today, and I wouldn't want that any other way. So I'm super proud to be who I am and how I got here. So my story, goes back, probably started when I was a kid. I grew up in a family of two brothers and a sister, very competitive family. My dad was a coach and an athlete. Me and my brothers are all close in age, so we were all really competitive. We had some intense competitions growing up together. My junior year, summertime coming up, I was playing baseball and finishing up my junior year, and I remember coming home from school every day or from baseball practice or a game and just being completely exhausted. Just, I would come home and all I wanted to do was just sleep all the time. Sleep. And you know, my parents were like, "Why are you always sleeping so much? Are you guys staying up tonight watching TV in your room or something like that?" And and I was like, and I wasn't. You know, I was falling asleep like 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and I wouldn't wake up until 6, 7 o'clock the next day when I had to go to school. And this went on for, I don't know, a few weeks probably, maybe even longer than that. And I remember one morning, it was a weekend, and I'd woken up and I couldn't breathe. I woke up and my deepest breath was just, I couldn't get a deep breath. I'm panicking, I'm freaking out. So I run in, telling them, I'm like, I can't breathe. I don't know what's wrong with me. So she's like freaking out now, and she's like, "Well, we got to go to the doctor right now. We're going to go, you know, see what's going on." So she runs me to the doctors and tell the doctor, you know, I can't breathe. I can't get a full breath. I mean, she almost is doing all the talking because I couldn't really get enough air in to speak. Doctor's like, "All right, we're going to do a x-ray, and we want to see what's going on in there." I'm like, "Okay." We do it, and he said, "You guys aren't leaving until I figure out, you know, what's going on." So I did x-ray, doctor leaves, we sit for maybe 20 minutes, half hour or so, and he comes back, and he says, "We got something going on here." I saw two tumors in your lungs, two cancer tumors in your lungs, and I need to send you to a specialist right away. We need to figure this out. We need to know what's going on. So he sends me and my x-rays to Stanford Children's Hospital in the Bay Area, where I was living at the time. And the doctor's looking at me up there. It's a specialist. And he said, all right, so I want to do a couple more tests on you to, you know, really get an idea of what I have going on here. And he does a few more tests. He sees the two tumors in my x-rays. And my dad's meeting, he's there now with us at the time when we ended up at Stanford. And the doctor, he asked me that I still remember hearing him say. And he asked me a question that I've been afraid to share the answer with for probably 5 or 6 months now. Was he asked me, do you have anything else on your body that is not normal? Any kind of growth, any kind of just something that is not right on your body? And I said, yes. And I was embarrassed and I was scared. And I told the doctor, yes, I do. And he said, where is it at? And I said, it's down there. So he said, all right, well, let me see it. So I'm down in the doctor and both of my parents, and they don't know what to expect. I had a tumor in my left testicle that was probably in between the size of a golf ball and a tennis ball. When you're 17 and you have this, it's not easy to be like, hey, Dad, come in the bathroom. I want to show you something. I'm trying to grow up and be a man and find myself, you know, 17 years old. So I played it off for a long time. I kind of just told myself, you know, you're playing baseball every day. You're wearing a cup for, you know, your protection. So maybe it's just the cup that's causing some swollenness or some inflammation or irritation. So yeah, that's it. No big deal. It'll go away. So 2 hours later, I'm in surgery. They removed the testicle. And I spent the next 9 months in the hospital, doing chemotherapy to attack those two spots in my lungs. The way that treatment went for me was I would go in for a week, do a straight week of therapy, chemotherapy. After that week was over, I would get 2 weeks of nothing but just throwing up, just sick, vomiting all the time. My hair would fall out. And then that fourth week, after all that was over, I would start getting my hair would start coming back just a little bit. My weight would come up. My appetite would be back. And that week would be up. And then I'd have to go back and do the whole thing again. I was 5'11". 175 pounds when I went in the hospital. And at the end of those 9 months, I was 5'11", 105, 110 pounds. Basically just living on Jell-O for 9 months. I couldn't keep anything down. So I was in the hospital for that whole week. Sometimes that second, third week, I would get to go home. Unless I had transfusions or, you know, IVs for more liquids, but I spent most of the time in the hospital. And then that fourth week, I'd be able to go home and kind of just eat a little bit more, start to feel a little bit better. And then we'd just do it all again. So after doing that for Well, it was about 8 months. And in the last month before I had, I was cancer free, I had my wish granted at Make-A-Wish Foundation in the Bay Area. My parents put in for me to have a wish granted. And really, all I really wanted at the time for my wish was I wanted new, I guess, new clothes, just so I could have clothes that fit. I didn't have any clothes that fit me anymore. I had been wearing a hospital gown for the last 9 months. So in the last month of treatments, I got my wish granted. This lady, I didn't know her. She didn't know me, but she volunteered her time so that she could grant my wish. And I didn't really know much about it at the time, how it worked, you know, even where she even came from. I was too wrapped up in everything that I was already kind of going through. She took me on the shopping spree. I got all these new clothes that I could wear at 110. And a month later, I was released from the hospital and I was cancer free. I was able to kill those two tumors in my lungs. I spent the whole time I was in treatment in home studies. I wasn't able to go to school that my senior year, obviously. So I spent home studies and I was able to get all the credits that I needed. I'm on track to graduate and everything, but I had finished treatments probably about a month or two before the end of the school year was over. So I wanted to just go back to school and just trying to feel normal again, just trying to get back on track. I didn't have to go to school. I had already had all my credits, but I ended up just hanging out with one of my best friends and just following him around for the last month of school. And then graduation came and I was able to walk and get my diploma with my class. So after all that, I started eating really a lot. It's just eating a lot better, being really everything I put in my body. Before that, I didn't really pay attention. I just ate what my parents gave me or whatever we were eating at school that they feed us in the cafeteria or whatever. But after that, I was like, I have to start really paying attention to what I eat. So on top of really being aware of what I'm eating, I also got into like a weight training class. I wanted to get my size and I wanted to get my strength back. So time goes by and as I'm eating and lifting, I'm getting bigger and stronger. And I kind of have this addiction to the gym now. Like I can't get out of it now. It started off just trying to get back on my feet. And now it's just like something I can't get away from. I just love going to the gym. I was going so often. I started having people ask me like, "You're starting to look like really good, man. Like, you know, have you ever thought about doing a competition or something like that?" And I'm like, no, I don't do it. I'm not trying to be a competition or whatever, but it kind of stuck in my head though after they said that, right? And when they put that in my head, I kind of came home and I was married at the time of this, and I told my wife kind of crazy. I was like, so I'm thinking about something kind of crazy, like thinking about doing a bodybuilding competition. She's like, "Really? Why, you never even brought that up ever before." And I was like, "Yeah, no, but I'm in the gym. I do see gains. I never realized I was as big as I was, maybe because I was, you know, I always look at myself every day. So it was just like, whatever. But doing this 100% naturally, because I refuse to put anything in my body that would affect it, especially after going through cancer like that. I was doing this 100% natural and getting bigger, stronger, faster than some of the other guys that may be using stuff. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. If I can beat cancer, I can compete in a bodybuilding show. Let's do this, right? So I, for the next year, I really paid attention to everything that I ate that would put size on me, but not a lot of fat. Just to put as much muscle as I could on me. And I think there was a 3 months before the actual show, I had to do a cut, which was it was deprivation. I had to cut a whole bunch of foods out that I loved. It wasn't very fun, but it was effective. So as I was training and coming up to the show, the whole time I was, you know, lifting and prepping, I remember just getting on the bench in the gym, and I would put the weight on me and I'd pull it down and kind of close my eyes and just one time just say, you know what, F you cancer, and start pushing, and the weights would just keep coming up, and guys were putting more weights and more weights on there, and I'd bring them down, F you cancer, and push it back up, and the weights would just keep coming up and the sides would just keep coming on. So the show came and I didn't know really what to expect, but like being on stage, but it was really exciting. So I got this. I ended up winning the first and only show that I had ever competed in. And it wasn't even like the best thing about having this was when I walked off the stage and I walked to my mom and I handed her that trophy. And she squeezed that thing so hard, I don't know how she didn't bend it or break it. Then she started crying. I think that was her closure for cancer being gone. I don't know. I mean, the cancer's been gone, but that part of me is gone. Like, I've moved on to bigger physically and mentally and better things. I won that show. I did not really enjoy the eating that it took. It wasn't fun. It wasn't easy. I just did one show. I won. I was done. I took a month off from the gym. I took a month off from everything, really, just to give my body, you know, a break, just to rest a little bit, just kind of get my mind back together. And I started thinking about that lady that granted my wish when I was a kid. And I went to my wife and I was like, someone I talked to you about, I was thinking about doing. And she's already laughing because she knows that I always come up with these crazy, different, kind of exciting ideas. So she's like, now what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to be a wish granter for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I want to give back. So I said, you don't have to do anything. I'll do all the homework. I'll figure out how we can do this and I'll get back. So I was Googling and making phone calls and all this stuff. And what we had to do, just go down to the Make-A-Wish House in Arizona, in Phoenix, and where we live now. And we did the classes and all that stuff, which was really fun and exciting. And now we have granted 3 amazing kids' wishes. granting those kids' wishes were way more satisfying, way more fulfilling than this thing ever really was. It's awesome. we did that. And during the month of me taking a break and during the time of us granting these kids' wishes, I had a lot of people that were coming up to me and asking me, like, so you won the show, that's pretty awesome. And, you know, what were you eating and how much did you lift and how often did you lift? Everybody started asking me all these different, you know, fitness and eating lifestyles and lifting and all this stuff, all these questions. And I have no problem sharing. I'd love to stop and talk to somebody for a minute and share my story a little bit. So I would give them basically everything that I ate to get to where I wanted. And it never failed. 2 or 3 weeks later, I'd see that guy and he'd be like, I can't do it. And, you know, some people would last a month. Some people would last 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, but no one could really stay on it. And I actually really, really wanted these people to win. I really wanted them to reach their goals. I wanted them to feel like they wanted to feel, look like they wanted to look. But they just, it's just so hard to do a deprivation diet. So I went to my wife again and I said, I got an idea.
That woman's an angel.
She really is.
She sounds
awesome. I want to do something different. And she's like, all right, so what now? And I said, I want to find a way where we can help people get the results that they want and stick with them. You know, build a habit that sticks, an eating lifestyle that they can hold on to and stay on and enjoy. So I said, don't worry, I'll do all the homework. I'll look around and I'll let you know. I started looking at all these different things and boom, ACI pops up. And I was like, oh, calling me, right? So I'm like, click, read, call her in. We're reading together. Both signed up and here we are. It was a long journey. But I think the way I grew up in that competitive home with those brothers and my dad and being in sports, I think that's probably what got it all started. That's what got me through cancer. It was almost like I would wake up every day and it wasn't like, oh, why me? Why me? It was like, so how are we going to win today? How can I get me a W today? It helped me through my bodybuilding and it carries on. I'm still there.
That is amazing. I love your story.
Thank you.
It is really inspiring.
I love that piece that you just said, that mindset piece. I think it has so much to do with recovery. There's more and more that we're finding out about the brain-body connection. And to really to be able to step back and say, how can I win today? That's so powerful, right? Because we have kind of two choices. There's that fork in the road with anything that's tough, that anyone who may be listening, you may have had a fork in your road and you can either like rule whatever's going on or let it rule you. You can decide this is for my evolution, or you can decide this is going to take me down. So really picking, like, cool, okay, this is what's happening. And I may not be thrilled about it, but how am I going to use this as fuel to take me forward? That's really, really powerful. That's incredible.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious if someone was going to work with you, if they came, let's say I came to you because I wanted to have services from you. How would that look? What would that look like?
What are you and your wife doing together as a team? I'd love to hear about, like, life, fit, love. Like, what is that? What is that situation?
Life is just, it's life. It's she has her story. I have my story. Everybody has their own story. Mm-hmm. And the life is just, it's our own uniqueness. And it's for me and my wife, it's our life together. The fit is definitely coming from us just living that fit life. She was a runner when I met her. She kind of adapted to the gym with me, as well. She actually did a few competitions herself and did very well. So we've all kind of been in the fit industry, I guess, like in interest, mentally and physically. And the love is just the love that we share together. It's everything that we share, whether it's fitness or our dreams or me coming up with a crazy idea of the next thing that I want to do. And there's always going to be something else. She's amazing, and she's a big part of who I am today as well. So I think, you know, that's just where the life, fit, and the love comes from.
Awesome. So do you guys do group programs, one-on-one? Like, what type of services have you created out of this passion for love and fitness that you and your wife share?
So right now, as together, as a group, we are actually in the process of a 14-day body reset. It's starting on March 18th. It's the day after St. Patty's Day this year. And we're going to do a group of about 20 people. Slots are already filling up very quickly. And basically, we just want to reset the body. We want to find different levels of energy, maybe better sleep, maybe clearer skin. But we're going to do a week before it starts of kind of a prep, shopping lists, kind of what to expect. And then when we start the program, it'll be 7 days, and then we'll have a group check-in. Everybody will get to group check-in, and we'll share each other's stories, how we're feeling, what experiences we're having. And then we'll do a one-on-one coaching session at the end of the 14-day. It'll be a free complimentary coaching session at the end of the program, and figure out if there's anybody else, you know, that's out there that's interested in what their health desires and their health goals are for themselves. Individually, I'm looking for helping people with mind and body transformation, finding all new levels of energy, possible weight loss, better sleep, less stress.
Awesome. Really coaching people around the mind, the body, that how it all connects together. It's incredible.
Yes, exactly. Right.
And I think, you know, you have laid that foundation for yourself, seeing how powerful that was for your own healing and transformation.
Right.
And being able to show people how that can connect in their own life. So often I think people just want to lose the weight, but if they don't figure out what's going on mentally, we don't remove those blocks. It's really hard. Like those people you were saying you would help, but they couldn't stick with it, right? If we can't connect our mental blocks, it's really hard to stick with anything long-term. So right. I think that work is awesome that you're doing.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really curious, in your professional opinion, with all the work that you've seen over the years, what is something that our listeners could do today, like the one thing you would offer that would help them positively up-level their health and wellness? Like, what's your secret sauce? If you could say, start with this one thing, that would you'd start to see an impact.
I would say set a goal, but set it in small action steps. I think if we set our goals and take action in smaller steps, it's more pleasurable, and it's more sustainable. So yeah, I would say my first thing I would say to do is set a goal and take the little steps, make them pleasurable and enjoy the journey.
I love that. I have clients that come to me all the time. They're like, all right, I'm going to like get in the gym. I'm like not eat sugar anymore. I'm going to cut out alcohol. I'm going to go to bed by 8 p.m. I'm like,
right.
Oh, that's a lot to start on like day one. Like, maybe we like roll that back and start with, you know, some smaller steps at a time so it can really be sustainable and build on those wins rather than setting ourselves up for failure. So I love
right, that. Right, right. Yeah, I mean, to try and get the results that I was having after lifting weights for 20 years overnight, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Just getting in the gym. You have to find a discipline. Sometimes I don't know if I love the word motivation. And the reason why I said I don't really love the word motivation is because I think motivation is temporary. Motivation is like, it feels good today. When the motivation is gone, what are you living on now? It's a discipline that needs to be there. And it's a habit that needs to be solid and.
I was listening to the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. I don't know if either of you have read that one yet, but he was talking about that, like with champion athletes, it's actually not about who's the most motivated. It's who can tolerate boredom, because like sometimes showing up every day is boring. The newness of the habit of going to the gym, of preparing a salad, like sometimes it gets boring, but to have that long-term success, we have to kind of not always just go after what's shiny and new, but we have to be willing to be consistent and disciplined. So I love that.
Exactly.
Awesome. I think that's what really separates like good from great, is like the willing to sit through some of those more boring moments to get to that end result.
Right.
It doesn't sound glamorous. Sorry for anyone who's like looking for something super exciting and shiny, but I think that's kind of the truth underneath of that. So
yeah, there's work that needs to be put in before the shiny comes. Definitely. And the shiny doesn't come overnight. You know, you do have to take the actions and the necessary steps. I just think that taking the smaller steps at a time, making it more sustainable and enjoyable, will keep you going longer.
Yeah. I found too that once you get that momentum going, that once you've sustained it for a while, if you've backslidden, you feel, it doesn't take long for your body to begin feeling like crap again. Right. But when you get right back, if you get right back to it, it recovers just as quickly.
Yeah, your body has memory. It has a good memory. It remembers where you left off, and it gets back to it quicker than as if you were starting from scratch, for sure.
Yeah, I found, because there have been a few times over the course of the past few years, I had like my appendix out, so I had to stop working out for a period of time with that. I hurt my back, I had to stop working out when that happened. And every time that, because I work out almost every day, it helps keep my anxiety in check. So when those events happen, it's just like, ah, I almost get anxious about the anxiety showing up because I rely on that to help bring keep the stress down, keep the anxiety in check. And right. Usually by day two or three, I feel that anxiety ratcheting up, you know? And it's interesting because like when I had those two situations happen and I was out for 2 to 3 weeks in each case, I'm like, ah, crap, I could feel it. I could feel my clothes, the difference in my clothes. I could feel the difference in my own energy. I can feel the difference in my emotional and mental state. But within the first week of getting back to it, it's like, boom. The first thing I noticed was how I felt mentally, emotionally. Like after 2 days, I was like right back to where I left off, mentally and emotionally. Mm-hmm. And like within a couple of weeks, I was right back to where I was. So yeah, it's true what you said about
Sounds quick.
The memory. Yeah.
And I also love what you point out, right? Like people are searching for these results that they think they thought of you maybe as this overnight success. Well, how'd you win? And they discounted the 20 years of work, right? So we think of these things and we see this, oh, this quick jump to success or this win of it, but like, you were training for that for years that allowed you to kind of pick up that training for it, right? So a lot of these things that may appear as these quick successes to people, they discount all of the years that it took before you were at that point. So I think that's a hopeful message as to not give up. Right. If you're someone, you're not seeing the results that you think you should be seeing, it just may take a little bit longer for your unique body to get there. And so just to give yourself that time to arrive, it's not going to happen in a week. Give yourself a little bit of time.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people also don't realize that I didn't start at 175 pounds. I started my journey at 110 pounds. You could see my teeth through my cheeks. I was so lean, so skinny. So from me going from 110 pounds, to the stage, it didn't happen overnight. It was a long process. And doing everything the right way, the clean way, it's a process and you have to be patient. But if you're enjoying it, it's much easier to stick with. And I've gotten to a point where I find which foods give me energy, which foods take away. I find which foods put muscle on. I find out which food put fat on. And just kind of just using my body as an experiment, as a laboratory over the last 20 years, I find what works for me and what doesn't. And that's another thing. When people ask me, you know, what do you eat? And what do you do? Do you take anything? My body is unique to Dom's, my body's unique to Alex's, my body's unique to everybody. My body may respond to something better than others, while others may respond better than mine, obviously. I'm dairy free. I do not do any dairy, where a lot of people are, you know, doing cheeses on their eggs and they're doing milk in their protein shakes and all this, but I just don't do dairy. So for me to say give a diet plan to a specific unique body, it doesn't work like that. So that's part of my coaching practice, is that I help you find the foods that are unique and that work for you, for your unique body.
And that's another, I think, downfall of the diet industry, is trying to give a large group of people to prescribe to one program when it just doesn't work. Eat this, this, and this. Well, those foods may be horrible for your body in that combination. So just thinking this should work because this is this specific diet plan doesn't really make sense. And it's going to take a little bit more experimentation to find out your perfect formula.
Right. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, Brian, it's been such a joy to hear your story today. Thank you for your courage and and to share so openly with us. It really touched my heart from beginning to end, and I loved hearing about Make-A-Wish. That is really, really special to, again, take something that happened that could have defeated you and turn it into something really powerful.
Paying it forward.
Paying it forward, yeah. And so I'm just curious, do you have any final thoughts, any last words for our listeners today?
I do. Some just came up a minute ago when we were talking, and I was sharing my story. So just yesterday, I was talking to a client. She is a breast cancer survivor, and she is an absolutely amazing lady. We were talking yesterday, and we kind of came up with like a mantra together. It kind of just came up again. And it was, may the road less paved be the road that you travel. And I think that comes from accepting change. So I believe that to make a difference, we do have to do something different, and we can't change. We can't grow without change. In order for us to grow, there must be at least some kind of change. So for me to share my story, it's always been something that I haven't really been able to do. I knew I needed to. I knew there's people out there that need to hear my story. But it's not something that I talk about a lot. You don't just go up to people and say, you know, hi, Alex, nice to meet you. Hey, Dom, how you doing? Hey, I had testicular cancer. Want to hear about it? It doesn't happen like that. So I really only tell my story. I share it with the cancer community. My friends and family, you know, growing up, know it. Small groups I share my story in. But I never really shared it in large capacities. And I've always wanted to. I always knew that I needed to. I know that there's people out there that need to hear this story. Dads that need to hear this story, so maybe they can tell their teenage kids, their youngers, what to be aware of, what to be open about. If they do notice that anything's not right on their body. So me sharing my story here on your show, it is a road less paved that I'm traveling. When I can work with the cancer community just by sharing my story, or maybe helping them, you know, with my program, that's the cherry on top for me. That's what I'm here for. That's my purpose, and that's why I believe I'm doing what I'm doing.
That is awesome. Brian, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Nothing better than that, to feel in alignment with purpose. And just want to presence that, you know, thank you for sharing that. I think it's a very kind of taboo topic for men to talk about. You know, there's a lot of tied in with masculinity and these thoughts and this pressure in society. And for you to share about that, I'm just really honoring that vulnerability that you brought today. So thank you. You know, because I think it does and will impact other people.
I hope so.
Thank you for your honesty and just showing up and sharing that today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Brian, it's truly been a pleasure to get to know you, to hear your story today. And I'm curious, where can people find and follow you if they want to hear more about what you're doing?
So I can be on Facebook, or I can be found on Facebook at Coach Brian Leggett. Or I can be emailed at brian.lifebitlove.coach at gmail.com. If anybody's interested in my 14-day body reset, you can email me at brian.lifeitlove.coach@gmail.com.
Awesome. Perfect. And we'll also make sure that we put links and people will be able to find that as well. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Dom, where can our listeners find and follow you?
On my website at coachdomcampbell.com.
Wonderful. And you can find and follow me at Fully Aligned Coaching on Facebook or at Alex the Fully Aligned Coach on Instagram. And you can find and follow us at The Second Nature Show on Facebook or by emailing us at thesecondnatureshow@gmail.com. We're also on YouTube. And if you've got any questions or you would like to be a guest on our show, you can email us or reach out to us on the show page. Or if you have any questions that come up or if you have any questions for Brian, we'd be happy to answer those or connect you to Brian as well. Be sure to tune in next week on Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And remember, if you change your habits, you can change your life. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you.